LBC. Joining us first on the line then is Philip Blond, director of the think tank ResPublica and former political advisor and speechwriter for David Cameron. Good evening, Philip.
Good evening.
Thanks for joining us. So, are you surprised by this news today, first of all?
No, I'm not surprised, really. I always thought it was a strong possibility. It must be very difficult to go from being Prime Minister to a backbench MP, and most of them decide to call it a day. And so I think in that, David Cameron, I think, is following both Gordon Brown and Tony Blair.
Do you think that he ever imagined it would have come to this, though? A few months back, before the referendum, resigning as PM, resigning as an MP?
Well, David Cameron was always marked by sort of a sense of optimistic outlook, should I put it like that, or insouciance, or something might put it. He really thought he'd win the referendum, and I think he was genuinely taken aback that he didn't. He didn't think he'd win the general election, but he did. So I think it came as, you know, a real blow, and I think it's become his legacy, and I think that's something he will regret deeply.
Yes, well, looking back, will he just think, well, it was a terrible mistake to ever promise a referendum from his point of view?
Well, I think from, you know, this is what everybody who's on the other side thought, you know. I mean, people cancelled this. I mean, even George Osborne was really kind of worried and reticent, because referendums always become about something else than they're originally intended, and they have a life of their own. And in a way, it was a needless loss. I mean, you know, people also say that actually, given the divisions in the Conservative Party, he would have had to have done something. But I'm not so sure. I think that, you know, with the general election victory, this could have been dealt with in another manner. But there we are, and there he is. It becomes his legacy, and I think it's a negative one for him.
And yet the main chunk of him being Prime Minister was the coalition government, and maybe that will be forgotten now, but I mean, how do you judge that, and how do you think history will judge that coalition government?
Well, if I may, I would judge David Cameron by the beginning and the end, rather than the middle. I mean, I thought what he originally had as a vision, which was a transformative one nation conservatism, oddly echoed and repeated by Theresa May, his successor, was, I think, a noble vision. And anything from the idea, you know, post the crash, of having a new type of capitalism, big society, one got the sense before he became Prime Minister that this is a man with a mission. This was a man who wanted to profoundly change things for those who had lost out. And, you know, many of us were, myself included, were very enthused by that. And I think the great pity is he became very conventional very quickly. As soon as he was elected, he essentially went with an austerity agenda, largely argued for by the Chancellor, and he let that really define everything else. And arguably, though, that was indeed an economic success, and in many ways created the growth and the election victory that came afterwards. But I can't help thinking it's been a terrible shame. I think he had the opportunity to be a one nation transformative prime minister, and I think that was squandered. And arguably, if he had delivered on that, if he had delivered on those who had lost out, were losing out from globalization, which he talked about and knew before the 2010 election, you perhaps wouldn't have had the vote that you did have in the referendum. It's the people who largely he felt he could ignore that really came back and kicked him out. And I think that's a great pity, and I think it's a failure to follow through on the vision in the beginning, and then really, if you like, this is the consequence. And I think it's a shame for a decent man, and he is undoubtedly a decent man, I think, to have that as his legacy.
I mean, some people will point to his sort of PR skills and his PR background even, and really accuse him of being one of those politicians who just says what people want to hear and isn't particularly a principled politician.
Gosh, you know, people have been saying that to me for years, and I mean, my sense personally is that isn't true. I think he felt things very deeply. It's why I think he is a profoundly decent man. He really did try to reform things in a way that would make a difference. But I sort of feel that he lacked the stamina to deliver on his vision, and he lacked the attention to detail. He was bored by it, and he really failed to realize that if you're a leader, you have to lead conceptually as well as practically. And again, I can't help but think it was a terrible pity. I mean, if we'd had not an austerity that I think was seen, though I think that the reality actually is, if you look at the evidence, it was actually very just, and those at the top suffered more than those at the bottom. But it was profoundly seen as a divisive legacy. And I think, you know, if you're a conservative, you have to understand the brand post-Thatcher is very divisive. You have to, especially if you launch yourself as somebody who is seeking to expand the brand, to do what conservatism hasn't really done in the 20th century, which is speak to and for the poor. For goodness me, you have to do it. And I think arguably he didn't deliver on that. And it's those people who felt both culturally and economically excluded who voted the way they did. And I think that will become his historical legacy, which I think is unfortunate given where he began from.
And what do you think he will do now? Will he do a bit of a Tony Blair and work a circuit or become an extremely rich man? What's your prediction?
I hope not. I don't think Dave Cameron needs to hang out with dictators and large commissions as a result. And I don't think he'll do that. I mean, this is what I mean. I think he has a concept of the dignity of the office. I think he'll want to create a legacy that he can continue. And it wouldn't surprise me if he took a role in the charitable sector, if he helped to lead one of, you know, the great institutions of our country, or do it as a whole suite. I think he's right in one sense to retreat from public life, but I don't think he should retreat from public life, period. I think we would benefit from having him in another role, and one perhaps where he could fulfill, you know, his promise, if I can be so bold, one where he actually delivers on something transformative for those at the bottom.
Philip, thanks very much indeed. Philip Blond there with his view, quite a rosy one, I would suggest, of David Cameron.